In 1965, what we now call Zimbabwe was then Rhodesia. It had just declared its independence from Britain in 1965 and was ruled by a small white minority government led then by Ian Smith, which opposed black participation in democracy and politics. Smith's government was wary of the rising black resistant movement that sought to overthrow the white minority government and put into place a true democracy with black participation. One of the most charismatic and well-educated leaders of that movement was a young bookish teacher named Robert Mugabe. In 1964, the Smith administration arrested Mugabe for the offense of subversive speech and kept him in prison for 11 years. Upon Mugabe's release in 1974, he traveled to Mozambique and built up a militant faction of the Zimbabwe African National Union. 5 years of guerrilla warfare ensued, with the goal of ousting the Smith regime. A genre of music called chimarenga, which means struggle in Shona, provided a soundtrack to the movement. And artists like Thomas Mafumo, who you can hear in the background, were jailed for singing songs with lyrics like, "Mothers, send your sons to war." When Mugabe was elected Zimbabwe's first prime minister in 1980, Mafumo performed at a celebratory concert which featured Bob Marley. But 9 years later, Mafumo released another album called Corruption, which was critical of Mugabe and his government. It's only been downhill for Zimbabwe ever since. The country has the worst hyperinflation in the world. Electricity, food, and fuel shortages are commonplace. And most alarmingly, the life expectancy, according to the World Health Organization, has dropped from 60 years of age in 1990 to 37 for males and 34 for females as of 2006. After nearly 30 years of Mugabe's rule, Zimbabweans had raised their hopes in September of 2008 when a power-sharing agreement was reached between Mugabe and the opposition. But so far, neither party has been successful at improving the country's situation. Throughout the past 3 decades of bad news, however, one shining light has been the growth of civil society in the country. There are now an estimated 2,500 NGOs working in the country, but for years they worked in relative isolation, without sharing information with each other or with the general public. Kubutana.net was founded in 2001 to improve communication between Zimbabwean civil society organizations and coordinate advocacy campaigns. Victor Kayonga, our Sub-Saharan Africa regional researcher based in Malawi, spoke with Bev Clark and Amanda Atwood of Kubutana last week.
The aim of the project was to basically aggregate the publishing, the materials coming out of civil society to make sure that civil society, the voice of civil society was amplified. We found that a lot of materials published by NGOs in Zimbabwe were not widely shared or widely disseminated. We do believe that a lot of NGOs and civil society organizations need to strengthen their PR capacity, because a lot of being able to do good work in information is building a constituency and building a brand and building a movement that people feel they want to belong to and that they can identify with. Whenever an NGO publishes a document and shares that document with Kubutana, we archive that material on their fact sheet in their directory, which means that our archive of documents online is now over 15,000 strong.
Aggregating and archiving information from hundreds of civil society organizations is one thing. But how do you turn that published information into actual offline social change?
The Kubutana project really sought to move civic information that was locked up in NGOs out of NGOs and use different kinds of new media to get that information to members of the general public.
I think a lot of what we, the value that we look for in information, how can we use this to help the population become more participatory? So for a population that's been made really inert by government repression, how do we, what can we use of the information that we're getting to use to create change, to bring pressure, to look at the activist elements in the information that we're getting and share them with people in a way that's inspiring them to action?
One example is a campaign that Kubutana organized to find out where the money went from the toll booths that dot Zimbabwe's potholed roads and highways.
Just recently, the government has set up toll gates on major roads in Zimbabwe. And over the years, many, many years now, Zimbabweans have been kept in the dark about how public funds raised are actually used. Now, many millions of US dollars are being generated from these toll gate. And we recently carried an activist message in one of our electronic newsletters saying to our membership, hey, come on, we're paying these toll fees, where is the money going? Because indeed, locally around cities like Harare, Mutare and Bulawayo, the conditions of the roads are very, very poor. And with the rains, of course, come increasingly dinosaur-like craters, potholes. And Zimbabweans are saying, well, we're paying this money for the upkeep of our roads. What's happening? And we put this notice in our newsletter to get people to think about this and to write to Transparency International Zimbabwe, asking them, as the civic organization in this country, to do a campaign or to get more active in trying to get accountability and transparency around public funding that's coming out of toll gates. And we clearly our membership rallied and mobilized and actually contacted Transparency International Zimbabwe, because the director of that project got hold of us and said, yes, we need to investigate this and we are going to develop a campaign around it.
Kubutana has also organized the Say Who You Are campaign to make the face, or faces, of Zimbabwean civil society more visible.
Because there's so much repression in Zimbabwe, members of the general public have been very fearful of identifying themselves with projects which could be described as anti-government, even though they're not. So what we've done recently, because we have so predominantly been an electronic and a cyber initiative, we put out an email to our membership that said, face who you are, and we have encouraged them to answer about six questions about themselves, and for example, where they are in Zimbabwe. And we've asked them how they feel Kubutana, being a member of Kubutana, has benefited them. And we've asked them what their dreams are for Zimbabwe, with the intent that we will go and interview them further, take a photo of them, and actually bring our membership into our advertising campaigns in 2010. And in so doing, we are building a solid belonging to our project. We're including the opinion and the feedback of membership. And we are, I think, in our own way, encouraging Zimbabweans to overcome their fear of association with a project that perhaps might seem dangerous to belong to when it really shouldn't.
So far, there's been relatively little internet censorship in Zimbabwe. But as new media campaigns organized by Kubutana and others gain momentum, and with a new constitutional referendum and parliamentary elections later this year, Clark is worried that the Zimbabwean government might look to China and Iran for help in dealing with online dissent and organizing.
If we wanted to communicate with our membership in the next hour about an important initiative, be that a public meeting or a demonstration, we could, through our SMS subscriber list and our email subscriber list, reach 18,000 people. And that's a significant number of people to reach, because you always extrapolate that, right? How many people will those people speak with? And I think that the government actually has very little appreciation of the far-reaching impact of new media. And just recently in our press, we have been seeing that members of the government in Zimbabwe have been talking about Twitter and mobile phone messaging in terms of activism in countries like Iran. And I'm wondering whether, for example, during the next election in Zimbabwe, that we won't see more of a crackdown on organizations using new media to encourage participation from the public.
Well, that's it for this week's Technology for Transparency podcast. I'm David Sasaki, the Research Director of the Technology for Transparency Network. You can visit us online and find out more about Kubotana and other projects that aim to improve governance through the use of technology at transparency.globalvoicesonline.org. You can visit Kubotana at kubotana.net. That's K-U-B-A-T-A-N-A.net. Background music is by Thomas Mapfumo. You can purchase his music online at mondomix.com. We're taking the weekend off, but we'll see you back next week with more interesting case studies of technology projects that promote transparency, accountability, and civic engagement around the world.